Great to have the opportunity to pray this morning. And if you have your Bibles, won't you open them at Hebrews chapter 12, please? Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And so really what I would love to do this morning is just to conclude our Hebrews series. We've been doing a series through Hebrews. And to conclude it as we look at Hebrews 12, running the race. And as I prepared this word, I really felt it was really a prophetic word to us as a church and to us as individuals to really encourage us. As we look at this picture of running the race, which is really the culmination of what was happening there in Hebrews 11. And what I did this week in my small group, my life group, we spoke about this message and I got all kinds of help from my life group. So some of your points are in here, guys. This morning, we've also got, we don't like to boast as a life group, but sometimes you have to. We've got a number of runners in our group as well, ex-runners, also current runners as well in our group. So it was wonderful to have their help, to help us. We've got Gavin and Brenda and we've got Cosmos and others that are runners. And so it was wonderful. And Jackie as well and others that are just, it was wonderful just to help us. It's great. So let's read together at Hebrews chapter 12. And let's open our hearts for God to speak to us this morning. And so Hebrews chapter 12, the writer to the Hebrews is saying after chapter 11, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance, with perseverance, the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen. And so I wonder if you could just put that picture up as well. And so many years ago, I also used to run for Varsity Old Boys. There's a picture from about 30 years ago or so from some of the races we ran. So we'll be drawing from this analogy. Please put it off quickly before I get too discouraged. Okay, there we go. So we want to draw some analogies from the running world this morning as we come to God's word. And so we've been saying through the series in Hebrews that that faith is believing God in an age of unbelief. And that a Christian is really a believer in God's word and character, that he cares for us, and that he can be trusted. And so friends, we live by faith. And as we live by faith, what it does, it makes the future invisible world real in the present. And God loves faith. He's chosen faith as the thing that he wants us to exercise in our lives. And the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so here in chapter 11, we have an account of these heroes of faith. Some were weak, some had personal challenges, but they came through in faith. And the writer to the Hebrews is telling us that the Christian life is really like a great race. And for us in Pietermaritzburg, we know about great races. This is the home of endurance sport and races, the Comrades and the Doozy and other things as well. But the Christian life is really the greatest race on earth. And it's a massive privilege for us to be part of this race. Jesus has qualified you and me to run in this race through his death and resurrection on the cross. But even though he's qualified us, we must do the running. Can you say amen? We must do the running. And so most great races, you don't just enter, you have to qualify beforehand. But Jesus has qualified us. He's chosen you to run in this race. And so your race entry, and finishing the race is secure. He will get you across the finishing line. But race rewards and race prizes are open depending on how you run this race. Prizes and rewards are open. And this great cloud of witnesses, these millions of runners that have gone before us, that have finished the race, they're waiting in glory for us to finish. They're waiting for us in glory, and only together with us will prize giving begin. When the last runner has crossed the finishing line, then the trumpet will sound like in the Comrades Marathon. What's it? A trumpet or a gong or whatever they sound, when the last runner crosses the line, and then Jesus will appear and he will begin to give prizes. And you can read about that in Revelation chapter 20 as a great crowd gather on prize giving day, and Jesus appears in order to reward us for the race that we have run. And so we see in Hebrews chapter 11, friends, as we've been through it the last 2 or 3 months, we see these characters. Abel ran his race and brought an offering, the Bible says. His race was remembered by what he gave. Maybe God has called you to do that in your race. Enoch pleased God and ran his race. Noah raced against coming judgment to build a boat and save his people. Abraham ran a great race of faith that impacted the coming generation. Sarah was destined to have children on her race. Moses raced to rescue his people in the land of Egypt. And Samson's race involved clobbering Philistines as he ran down the road. That was what he was called to do. And even Rahab gave a friendly welcome to more men into her home, which she was used to doing because she was a prostitute. It's just that this time she did it by faith. That was her race that she ran. Hallelujah. And so, friends, we have also been called to run a particular race as a Christian. And Jesus has given you personally particular assignments along the way in the race that you are called to run. We run together, but we all called specifically to run a particular race depending on your gifting and your capacity and your calling and your circumstances. And friends, that's what we're doing. That's why you're a Christian today. We're running this race for Christ. Hallelujah. And when you get across that finishing line, you will hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done." And that "well done" will reverberate through eternity. Well done, well done, well done, well done, well done. And so that's what we are racing for. And each generation has been called to run a specific race at a particular time, under specific circumstances. And each Christian is called to run a specific race. And each local church is running a particular race, which is part of God's bigger picture as God orchestrates the greatest race on earth throughout the centuries. Hallelujah. And for us, Masala has encapsulated that for us. It's for us as a church to gather together through worship and the word, for us to grow through fellowship and discipleship, and then for us to go into the city and to be, and beyond that, to make an impact for God. Hallelujah. And so God is on the move, friends. The kingdom of God is advancing. This great race is continuing. And Jesus has shown us the way. He has run his race. And Jesus has received the prize. And he has been given a hero's welcome in heaven. And he has been given a name that is above every name. And he was rewarded when he got into heaven. The Holy Spirit was poured out on Jesus because of the race that he ran. And the Spirit fell upon his church as a sign of blessing for the faithful race that Jesus ran. And now Jesus has become our coach. And he's watching from heaven, and he's praying for us, and he's coaching us as we serve the purposes of God in our generation. Hallelujah. The rest of the world is really racing for destruction. They don't know anything about this race. But for us, we've been called into the greatest race on earth. Just turn to the person next to you and say to them, "We're in the greatest race on earth." Just tell them that. We're in the greatest race on earth. Hallelujah. And friends, it's now our turn to run. It's our turn to run now. I'm running with others. I'm also running. We're running in Grace Gen colors. It's a kind of bright vest we're running in. And it's important for us to run in this vest because other people need to see this multicolored vest in this nation at this time. Amen. God has called us to run in specific colors. God has given us a particular vision at this time. What we call a theological vision, where you put your belief into practice in a particular time and place. And your and my individual race is part of this great race. And so this morning, my first point is, let us run. Let us run. We are now the runners not the spectators. And the race is on. And Jesus will get us across the finishing line. He that begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion. For each one of us, God has given a measure and a capacity and various gifting that you may run the race that's perfectly matched for you. There's a particular race God wants you to run, like the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. And you might be at the beginning of your race. You might have just got saved and just be starting out. You might be in the middle of your race. Or you might be nearing the end of your race where you need to adjust your pace, but you keep going. Hallelujah. Because we're all in this great race together. But friends, you can be qualified, but also neglect the race. And this morning, what I want to get across is that we get a vision to run this race for God. We get a vision to keep going. We don't let anything hold us back. We don't let anything make us discouraged. And so turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul is talking about his own life here, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And he says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run, that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but for us, an imperishable. So I don't run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, that after preaching to others, I myself should not be disqualified." Michael Eaton says, "Our coming to faith in Jesus is like becoming a runner. Salvation qualifies you to run in the race, but the point of the race is to receive a prize. And so we want to run, but not miss the prize. You may finish the race, but miss the prize, depending on how well or how badly you've run your race. You can finish the race, but miss the prize. Paul says, I don't want to miss the prize. And part of that race, we run in a private way. And part of that race, we run in the public space where God has placed you in the city and in the society. And part of that race, we run here on Sundays and in our small groups. And as part of this church, as we gather, we receive some race instructions and some coaching and some encouragement together. But friends, we need to get this race mentality into us, that we're running a race for Jesus. Rick Warren, in that famous book on the purpose-driven life, he says, "The purpose of your life fits into a much bigger cosmic purpose that God is designing for eternity." Hallelujah. And we need to get that picture. God has called me to run a race. I've got something specific to do for God. And it may change along the way, and God may give you various assignments, but we're in a race. We're talking to Jackie in our small group, and I was saying to her, right now, as a single mom, part of your race is to raise the boys you're raising, and she's doing such an excellent job. It's part of the race that God's called her to run. And so I would say to us, let us run. Let us run. And that mustn't just come from the elders, but from the congregation. The congregation needs to rise up and say, we want to run. Let us run. Can I hear it? Fantastic, fantastic. I asked my small group to help me. That was great. Well done. And so let us run. Let us run, folks. That's my first point. Let us run. You can't envision a spectator to run. You have to get a vision yourself to run this race. I'm running this race for God. God's called me to run a particular race. And so you need to get that first. You need to become God-driven before you vision-driven. So many churches today, they're giving people vision. They're vision-driven. No, we're not vision-driven. We're God-driven. God gets hold of us and God says, I'm calling you to run a race, and I put stuff into your life, and the time you're living and the season you're living in and your circumstances is important to me. And when God gets hold of us, after that we discover vision and God begins to lead us and we run this great race. We don't just gaze at our race entry. We run. Let us run. And we hear God calling us. And this is not a sprint. It's a triple marathon. As we keep going with perseverance. Point number two is the race has also been marked out for us. It's been marked personally and corporately, Jesus has taken the time to mark out a specific, particular, mysterious, wonderful race route for you personally and for us corporately. He knows where we should be heading. He's in charge. He's large and in charge. And he's marked out a race that's perfectly fitted for you and your background and your family. I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And God knows where he's taking us. Michael Eaton says the route is planned, and it's not a route you choose for yourself, nor can we change it. Each of the servants of God in Hebrews 11 had a calling, and they ran along a particular track. That's the track we run across. And what does this mean? It means that I can rest in the fact that Jesus is watching over my life. I can rest in the fact that the race has been marked out for us specifically. I'm not running aimlessly. I'm not just making it up as I go along. Jesus is leading us. Hallelujah. And I'm running in this big race. I'm running in this great race. And it's called the race of God, the race that Christ has called me into. Hallelujah. And one day we'll gather at the finishing line and we will see Jesus handing out the prizes and we'll realize we've been running for him. And we'll realize the purpose of this great race. Friends, that's so important today. We're living in a generation where people don't have bigger vision. They're living for themselves. This is the selfie generation. But we're not just living for ourselves. We're caught up in something that's far bigger. Philip Reeve, who was a great sociologist who just died, he studied society prophetically. He said Western civilization has been built increasingly is being built on a deliberate horizontal approach to life where God is being ushered out of the picture. And people are just living on the horizontal. They're just living on the material. And he said that is leading to death works. He said, but we need to live with a vertical approach to life where we're not just living on the horizontal, but we have a, we realize I'm running for God. I'm living for God. God is breaking into my life. Hallelujah. And so I want to say to us this morning, let us run. Let us run. God has called us to run a race. And I want to say to you personally and corporately, our race is not over. David, your race is not over. Ethel, your race is not over yet. Elof and Ginny, your race is not over yet. Benson and Beatrice, your race is not over. Hiku and Rose, your race has just begun. Your race has just begun. Avril and Annalene, your race is not over. Shannon, your race is not over. God has called us to run a race. And I want to encourage us this morning. Let us run this race that God has called us to run. And sometimes you get an idea of your calling as you look back a bit over your life and you see how God has been working in your life. When I look at this church and I look back over this church, we're in a new phase of the race as a church. We're in a new phase of the race where God has been speaking fresh things to us, hallelujah, over the last year or two. And we are starting to see God doing new things amongst us as other people pick up the baton, or as they say in America, the baton, and they begin to run this race. We're seeing tremendous things happening amongst our young people and our youth and the people that God has added, like Nikki and KJ, and just the way this Ignite thing is happening. God has spoken to us also about prayer. God has spoken to us about his presence. And one day as we gather here, we're going to hear a sound, and increasingly we're hearing that sound of the blowing of a wind as God comes and fills this place. God is calling us to pray in our race. This congregation is called to usher in the presence of God. This congregation is called to pray. When we call you to pray, let's gather together to pray. God is also using us as a translocal base through the work of CCP, through other things that are happening, Africa Leadership School and other people, Gary Almeida and John Perfect and you in your workplace and other areas. God's using the things that he's built into us to transport and transplant into other areas as well. as we run this race and affect other areas as well. Hallelujah. And friends, we need each other as we run. Jackie said this, I thought I'd quote Jackie. In a race, she said, you need to utilize what you have to keep going, like the water tables for energy and hydration. We need to use what God has given us, like church meetings, home groups, for the hydration of our souls and to keep us going. Hallelujah. I thought that was just wonderful. And so how do we run this race? Let me move on. How do we run it? Point number three. How do we run this race? Three things you need to remember. Number one, you need to throw off. Number two, you need to tear out. And number three, you need to look up. Number one, throw off. When you run this race, the external things, and often they're good things that become ultimate things in our lives. Anything that pulls you back or pulls you down, anything that restricts you from running well, it means that I don't want to get bumped in this race. I don't want to become bitter in this race. If someone stands on my foot, I want to keep running. I don't want to be disqualified in this race because I've broken the rules or broken his heart. I want to keep running this race. Someone was telling me, one of the Russian ladies that ran the comrades, she stopped before the finishing line, started talking to the spectators. She thought she'd finished, and someone had to say, come on, you need to get across the finishing line because otherwise you won't win the race. And what are weights, friends? Weights are unnecessary restrictions, not on your body, but stuff that weighs down your soul so that you can't rise up, you can't mount up, you can't spring up, you're constantly being pulled back or you're constantly being pulled down, and you need to get rid of it. You need to look at your life and say, what are the things in my life that I need to get rid of in order that I may run this race? Hallelujah. I don't want to be pulled down. I don't want to be pulled back. I want to rise up. I want to be able to still run this race. Hallelujah, that God has called me to run. There's more to run. There's more to be done. I just want to show you a little video clip. I just thought it was excellent. Just about something that we use every day that can become a weight in our lives. Can we just put it on? Thanks, Vanna.
Symptoms of addiction. You get angry with others. You get irritated with others. Think about it. You need to do something. You want to be serious with the Lord. First thing in the morning, do not touch yourself. Spend time with the Lord. I suggest the following. To manage technology, do not let technology manage you. Cell phone is not bad. Technology is not bad. But you manage it. How? Most important word. Set time. Limit. Say it all with me. Limit. Limit the time. Use technology for your own benefit. Another important guideline. Face to face. Spend time with the children. Play games face to face. Not with computer. Another suggestion. Model. Parents, model actual reading of the Bible, using the Bible. Show your children what you're doing. Model playing games with your children. Model spending time with people, not only through the internet. This is what's destroying a lot of people today. My prayer is this. You will learn to manage technology. Not allow technology to manage.
Amen. That's great, eh? Amen. So there's certain weights and things that are good things, but that I need to make sure that they don't become ultimate things in my life. Secondly, there are also things that I need to cast off. There are things that entangle my life where stuff can become sin if you don't watch it. Sin is like a computer virus. If you download it into your life, it will start working on its own and it will corrupt your heart. And you need the antivirus of God's word and God's spirit in order to keep you clean and keep you open, that you may run this race that God has called you to run. And it says that to us in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 is talking about that. I'll just read it to you quickly. Ephesians 4 verse 20 says this. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so there's weights that I need to drop. I need to release. There are things that I need to tear out of my life so that they don't take a hold of my life. Temptation is often the testing of an alien power of the possessions held by God. And we want to say, I'm not going to let anything come into my life to stop me from running this race. And thirdly, I need to look up. I need to look up at Jesus, who endured the cross and scorned the shame and ran his race. Hallelujah. Jesus is watching us. I run under his watchful eye. I remember when I was at school, my dad came and watched all my races. He watched all my matches. I was just so privileged. And when I was on the field, I knew on the side he was watching. Shannon also joined me when she became my girlfriend, but she was louder than my dad. She used to get more excited and jump up and down, and quite as shy she was. But he was always on the side watching and encouraging me. And Jesus is like that, friends. He's praying for us. Jesus has run his race, and now he's watching over your race. And so I keep my eyes on him. And as I keep my eyes on him, as I watch him, as I run, as I keep looking up, he strengthens me with power, it says in Ephesians. And so I'm aware of two things. When I begin the race, I'm aware that Christ starts the race with me. He's in me. There's an awareness of Christ in me. I run with Christ. I run with Jesus. But it's also, I have an awareness that Jesus also comes upon me. He empowers me at different times on this race to keep going. And so I run a Christ-centered race, focusing on him, looking to him, aware of him, knowing that he's with me. I'm not running this race on my own. Jesus is with me. Christ within me. Christ upon me. Christ ahead of me. Hallelujah. And I run this race with that in mind. I run this race. And as I do that, the prize along the way, even before the end, is that there are levels of experiencing Jesus ahead of us. Levels of intimacy. Levels of reward. Levels. The prize is actually Jesus himself. The reward comes from him. Paul says, I run that I may know Christ, that I may find him, that I may gain Christ. Hallelujah. And so friends, we run this race with our eyes on Jesus. We have a God focus, not a self focus. We keep our eyes on him. We run this race. We listen for his voice. We're aware that he dwells within us. We're aware that from time to time he comes upon us and he empowers us and he fills us and he helps us and he strengthens us to run this race. And so I need to throw off stuff. Maybe there's some of you here today. So you know, there's stuff I need to throw off. We need to tear out. There are things that have got a grip of my life I need to get rid of. We need to look up. Look up to Jesus. Allow him to strengthen us with that vertical focus upon Christ in an age of unbelief. We run this race. That's what the Hebrew writer says. Let us run the race that is set before us. And friends, if we do that, we will be able to echo the words of Isaiah chapter 40 as I close. Isaiah chapter 40 says this. Even young men, God gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and grow weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Amen. And so this morning, that's my call to us at the end of this Hebrew series. Folks, let us run. Sarah, let's run. Sibs, let's run. Brenda, Gavin, let's run this race. Let's run the race that's been marked out for us. God has specific things for you to do. Janine, God has specific things for you to do. God has specific things for us to do. And we run this race. Nassim, God's got a race for you to run, my friend. God's got a race. Julian, God's got a race for you to run. Grace Jen, God's got a race for us to run. Hallelujah. And yeah, you might need sunglasses when you look at our running vest. That's all right, because it's brightly colored. But it's important, because we're prophetically demonstrating something in this race. And Jesus is watching over us. And Jesus is in us. And Jesus will come upon us from time to time to strengthen us for this race. And so the writer to the Hebrews says, let's run. Let's run. Let's run this race. It's marked out for us. Let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's throw off stuff that we need to throw off. Let's tear out stuff we need to tear out. Let's look up. Let's keep focused on Him. Let's not stop in this race. I stopped once doing the two oceans in Cape Town. I couldn't get going again. My legs seized up. Let's not stop. Let's not get disqualified. Let's not get bumped out the race. Let's keep running the race that's marked out for us. That Jesus may be glorified. We run for that well done, good and faithful servant, as we cross that finishing line and we hear His voice. Well done, good and faithful servant. Grace Jen, let's do this. Amen. We're in a new season. God's calling us. God's speaking to us. There are lots of things God's doing amongst us at the moment, this new phase. Lots and lots of good stuff that God is doing. I was in Pretoria last week with Mark Ashfield. Said, please come and do some stuff on the Holy Spirit. God just broke out in the church. God did some stuff in the church. It was just amazing. God is on the move all over the place. Let's keep our eyes on Him and let's run this race. And let God use you. Tomorrow when you go to work, you have a particular race to run in the workplace He's placed you. Run your race. Run your race in the place He's placed you with the gifting and the calling He's given you, that Jesus may be glorified. Look up at Him. Get encouragement from others. Some of you young men, we need to pass the baton to some of you. We need a whole new generation of young men coming. Don't be reluctant to come onto the track. Don't just say no, let the old boys keep running. Come onto the track. Let us give you the baton. Let us hand stuff over to you that you can run with us. The race that's marked out for us. Let's get that into our spirit. Let's get a sense of urgency today. Jesus is speaking to us. Can you say amen?